পঞ্জাবী হাজে জয় রাধা মাধব পঞ্জাবী হাজে কপি জনবালা গিরিবর ধাজে কপি জনবালা গিরিবর ধাজে অসুর নন্দনা ব্রজ জন রঞ্জনা অসুর নন্দনা ব্রজ জন রঞ্জনা চামুনা চিরমন চারি যমুনা চিরাভন চারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি গোপী জনবালা গিরিবর ধাজে গোপী জনবালা গিরিবর ধাজে অসুর নন্দনা ব্রজ জন রঞ্জনা অসুর নন্দনা ব্রজ জন রঞ্জনা যমুনা চিরাভন চারি যমুনা চিরাভন চারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Pari Vajikachara Oshatara Sutta Sri Simad His Divine Grace is Khan Founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Pari Vajikachara Oshatara Sutta Sri Simad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Ki Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Pramsakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gagopina Shramkun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mathura Dham Ki Navadvip Mahapur Dham Ki Ganga Jamuna Maya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki His Divine Grace is Khan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Shri Shri Radha Landaneshwara Ki Jagannath Subhadra Baladeva Ki Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Giriraj Maharaj Ki Golok Premdan Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki Nithai Gaur Premnandi All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glories to Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, Text Number 8. Puritanaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam Dharma Shamshta Panataya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Puritanaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Puritanaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Puritanaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Naya, for the deliverance, Shadunam of the devotees, Vinashaya, for the annihilation, Cha and Duskritam of the miscreants, Dharma, principles of religion, Samstapana Artaya, to re-establish. Sambhavami, I do appear. Yuge, millennium. Yuge, after millennium. Translation, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. Purport, according to Bhagavad Gita, I sadhu, holy man is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness, wholly and fully, he is to be understood to be a sadhu. And Duskritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants, or Duskritam, are described as foolish and the lowest of mankind, even though they may be decorated with mundane education. Whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may neither be learned nor well-cultured. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with the demons Ravana and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons, but the Lord expressly descends to appease his unalloyed devotees, who are always harassed by the demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudeva were persecuted only because Krishna was born to them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than kill Kamsa, but both were performed simultaneously. Therefore, it is said here that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj, the following verses summarize these principles of incarnation. Srishti hetu ye murti papanche avatare se ishvara murti avatara namadhare mayatita paravyome Shabara Ashvatana Vishve Avatari Daya Avatara Nam. The avatar incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of God who descends is called an incarnation, or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material world, they assume the name avatar. There are various kinds of avatars, such as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Lila avatars, Shaktavesha avatars, Manvantava avatars, and Yuga avatars, all appearing on schedule all over the universe. But Lord Krishna is the primeval Lord, the fountainhead of all avatars. Lord Shri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating the anxieties of pure devotees who are very anxious to see him in his original Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatar is to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. The Lord says that he incarnates himself in every millennium. This indicates that he incarnates also in the age of Kali. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, the incarnation in the age of Kali is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who spread the worship of Krishna by the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting of the holy names, and spread Krishna consciousness throughout India. He predicted that this culture of Sankirtan would be broadcast all over the world, from town to town and village to village. Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is described secretly, but not directly, in the confidential parts of the revealed scriptures, such as the Upanishads, the Mahabharata, and the Bhagavatam. The devotees of Lord Krishna are very much attracted by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. The avatar of the Lord does not kill the miscreants, but delivers them by his causeless mercy. Translation: to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I appear myself millennium after millennium. Om agyan tu manandasya ginangina shalakaya chakshani militam jena tasmaya sigurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale shvayam rupa kadamayam dadanti svarapananti kam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakti Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Nama Nama, Hare Hare. Shri Shivada Landanishwara Ki Jai. Of course, this is a very famous and popular verse in Bhagavad Gita, perhaps one of the most often quoted verses of this great scripture, wherein Lord Krishna explains the specific purpose of his coming to this material world. Krishna explains his purpose in coming to this material world because someone may question why the Supreme Lord would come to such a place. Krishna is forever enjoying loving pastimes with his devotees in the spiritual world, most specifically in Shri Vrindavan Dham. He is the reservoir of all transcendental pleasure, and his devotees enjoy blissful pastimes with him in various rasas or various moods. The Lord has created this material world specifically for the Duskritinas, the foolish and lowest of mankind who desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. As a result of trying to enjoy independently from Krishna, we have to suffer so many miseries. So Krishna himself certifies this material world as a place of suffering. Abhama bhuvana loka punar avitu arjuna mamupetati kontiya punar janmana vidyate. In case anyone has any doubts, the Lord is making it very clear. He is the supreme authority. Just like we want to purchase something, then we make sure that it is an authorized sale. Someone is not cheating us. We go to a well-established store and we take advice from experienced salespersons or the owner of the store. We want to make sure the real tag is there. It is not some imitation article. It is the real thing. It should be authorized. So the Lord is the supreme authority, and he is putting his stamp in his Bhagavad Gita. What is the nature of this world? From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. So to the untrained eye or the naive person, the material world may appear that there's some happiness here. One time Prabhupada said, the only happiness we really experience is the mitigation of the constant distress of material life. That is what we take as happiness. When there's some momentary relief from the pangs of material existence, then we take that relief as something pleasurable. But in fact, from the highest planet down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. This is the Lord's conclusion. The final conclusion. So one might question how the Lord, who is the relisher of all types of transcendental mellows, why he would be interested in coming to such a place as this, where there's only suffering. He's Purushottam. It's Purushottam and Purushadam. Purushottam means the best amongst men. You can study different characters of people and you'll see that there's different gradations or different elevations. In all species of life we see there's first class, second class, third class, fourth class, and Prabhupada even described a fifth class, or once he said tenth class man, addicted to all types of sinful activities and devoid of all good qualities, arrogant, proud. Well, different gradations of men. But of all men, Krishna is Purushottam. He's the best of all living entities. He's the original living entity. And being transcendental to this world, he's without any material nepotes or faults. He never comes under the influence of the material energy. So of all living entities, he is unique. Nitya nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ekobahanam yovadi dati kamam. Out of all the eternal beings, you, me, everyone, and the Lord, out of all eternal beings, there is one, Eka, Krishna, who is maintaining and fulfilling the desires of everyone. So he is unique. He's completely independent. We are all dependent in various degrees upon the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God, but he is ever independent, complete within himself. So he is unique, Krishna. Purushottam. The opposite of Purushottam is Purushadam, the lowest amongst men. So this is the abode of the lowest amongst men. Just like there are different categories of birds. There's the swan, at the other spectrum, there's the crow. The swan takes pleasure in swimming in beautiful lakes where there's growing lotus flowers. Sometimes he playfully puts his beak in the stems of the lotus flowers and frolics with his friends. Very beautiful to the eyes to see. And the other opposite side of the spectrum, there's the crow. The other day I saw one man, actually he spit, and the crow flew down and this was his meal. With different classes of living entities. So Krishna, he is Purushottam, he is the best amongst all living entities. And he frolics with his devotees in the spiritual world. And then there's the material creation for the crows, those who desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, try to enjoy this material world, perverted reflection. So what is Purushottam doing in Purushadam, the abode of the low class? Why is he coming here? Just like here in London, you have different parts. We were driving around London today. I saw some very nice parks and stately buildings, and then we drove through other places, Piccadilly Circus, and we saw different parts. We saw, I saw not the names, but we saw drunkards and prostitutes and all people like that. So then you might find one first-class man. What is your president called? Tony Blair? Prime Minister, he's called? President or Prime Minister? So he's considered as the president. He's been elected as Purushottam, the best amongst, well, the best choice they had. I don't know him personally. So one might be surprised if he's walking in a low part of town to meet the president alone, wandering. Sir, what are you doing here? You belong at 10 Downing Street. I think better you go to 10 Soho Street. And meet who's the real supreme. Nandanishwara Ki. He's the real controller of the city, the country, world, universe, cosmic manifestation. But one might be surprised, oh, Mr. President, you were wandering alone in this district. Why are you? What is a nice person like you doing in a place like this? I'm surprised. So someone may question why Krishna comes to this world. Rasaraj, he's the king of all transcendental mellows, spiritual enjoyment. Why, you there's nothing here to enjoy. Why you have come here? Then he explains himself. This is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita, that the Lord, he's explaining himself to those who have come to this material creation. What is his actual purpose in coming to the material world? So he gives three reasons why he comes. Paritunaya sadhunam, to deliver the pious, and vinashaya to duskritam, for the annihilation of the duskritam, or the miscreants, the impious, and dharma samstapanataya, to actually samstapa, it means to reestablish the principles of religion. So the first reason he gives is to deliver the pious. Why do the pious need to be delivered? What difficulties do they encounter? That quite often they are being harassed by the duskritinas. The duskritinas, this is their pleasure. Difficult for us to conceive, because in Krishna consciousness we are trained that our happiness is when our distress is when people are suffering due to a lack of Krishna consciousness, and our happiness is when we see people becoming enlivened as a result of Krishna consciousness. We like to see people become happy, and because we know what is real happiness, we spread the Sankirtan movement. And when we see people taking to the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. We know nothing higher than, no higher taste than this. The devotee has given up his interest in material life. He's come to the intelligent conclusion, either on his own or by the mercy of the devotees, that this material world is actually, no one can actually enjoy here. And he's actually experienced what is real happiness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Once you've experienced the real thing, you can never be attracted to the imitation. You'll never be fooled. Once you have the real thing, if someone gives you an imitation, hey, come on, I have the real thing. You can show me the imitation. So once one has actually entered into the science of chanting the holy names of the Lord, by gradually becoming purified as a result of giving up his material attachments, trying to free his heart from lust and anger and greed, making some progress by the mercy of his spiritual master, You can taste the amrita, or the nectar of Krishna. They are present in the form of his name. And the beauty of this world fades very quickly. It's like you put a cloth out in the summer sun for some weeks or months, the color fades very quickly. It doesn't stay very long. In some way, one who's advancing in Krishna consciousness, the so-called beauty in his eye, the beauty of this world fades very quickly. He's no longer attracted. So we enjoy sharing this process with others. If you have something very nice and you have lots of it, you want to share it with others. So devotees are always sharing this process of Krishna consciousness with the non-devotees. But the nature of the duskritana is that where does he derive his pleasure? He derives his pleasure from deriding others. He wants to become superior, so he derides others. He puts others down, so he appears to be superior. And even he takes pleasure at seeing other people suffer. Just like a very nice example is Mugrari the hunter. Mugrari, he was trained by his father to half kill animals. When the great saint Narada Muni was wandering in the forest and he came across Mugrari the hunter, who was dressed in animal skins, etc., he actually witnessed how Mugrari was very expert. His profession was such that he could shoot the arrow into the animal in such a way that the animal didn't die but was in excruciating pain. We call this mortally wounded. When a soldier is mortally wounded, it means that his wound is so severe he cannot recover. It's a question of only a few minutes or hours before he expires or dies, mortally wounded. So Mugrari was expert at mortally wounding the animals. And he actually stood there and he relished and the pain, seeing them suffer. And Narada Muni, being a devotee, completely the opposite nature and care, what is this? Where have you learned this? Ah, my father has taught me. You want to know how to do? So there's a personification of someone who actually takes pleasure at seeing others suffer. It's a demoniac quality. Actually, it's difficult for us to conceive because we are being trained in another way. But it is there. There are some, this is their pleasure. So who better to harass than the devotees of the Lord? Because the nature of the demoniac person is he's very envious of God. The closer one comes to Krishna, the more devotion he has for God. And the further one comes away from Krishna, the less devotion he actually becomes envious. Krishna says to Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I can explain the science of Krishna consciousness to you. So that is our cardinal sin. The Christians speak of the cardinal sin, the original sin, the cardinal sin, the original sin. That Adam and Eve wanted to enjoy the forbidden fruit despite the command of God, to be independent of God. Kaviraj Goswami describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bahirmukh. Mukha means face. So Bahirmukh means we have turned our face from God. Like you're speaking to someone. And then in the middle of the conversation, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you, young man. You turn. It's a way of an insult, isn't it? Bahirmukh, we have turned. The cardinal sin, we have turned from God to. So envy is the cardinal sin. We're envious of Krishna's position. It's because of envy we have come to this world. And until we become freed from envy, we will stay in this world. Envious of Krishna's supreme position. So that is the nature of the gross materialist, or better yet, the demoniac. They're envious. So anything that reminds them of God, they don't like. Anything that can remind them of the Lord. So the devotee of the Lord is actually the representative of the Lord. Just like an ambassador, he represents his country. He's the embodiment of his country. So similarly, the devotee is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything a devotee does causes one to remember Krishna. Just to see a devotee walking down the street in Vaishnava attire makes people think of Krishna. Today I was going all over London and I was amazed how many times people came up to me and said, Hare Krishna, and favorably. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. There was one nice gentleman, I was walking past his store, he's an excellent artist, and I was walking by, he touched my arm, Hare Krishna. I didn't take much notice, we were in a hurry. We went into the next store, I came out, he touched me again, Hare Ram. So he was very eager to share something. He said, you know, I have been reading the books of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada for some 20-odd years. So really? I'm very fallen. I cannot give up some of the sinful activities, not follow all the rules. But then he was quoting so many passages as we were speaking, passages from Bhagavad Gita, verses from Bhagavad Gita. He said, every day I read that book. Every day I read that book. And other books as well. He said, I'm Jewish by birth, but I am reading Bhagavad Gita every day. I said, how did you get this book? Oh, I was walking down the street and one Hare Krishna sold me the Bhagavad Gita. I said, but you're not part of the congregation? He said, no, but I'm very happy reading Bhagavad Gita. He said, I've read it some 20 or 25 times. I was very jealous, very envious. Oh, 25 times. So how did he recognize, because I was wearing the Vaishnava clothes. And so many times, wasn't how many times a day did people, one girl walked by and said, Haribo, oh, Haribo. It's like a secretary looking girl. Haribo, Haribo, ma'am. Maybe she was bhaktin, I don't know. I said, ma'am, Haribo. In an elevator, one man said, Hare Krishna. And what else? Some other instances. Yeah, just wearing all over town you heard. I said, this is such a favorable place for spreading Krishna consciousness, London. We have such a nice... I'm coming from a country where, you know, we live in the shadow of another religious organization, the Catholic Church, and due to their false propaganda, you know, many people look down on us. Even recently, people were spitting on me, on Harinam. So we're always looking, you know, divine demoniacs. Many people are favorable, but many people also are inimical. Due to some fanatic nature. But here, people, ladies and gentlemen, and more than that, Hare Krishna, they were saying, Hare Ram. So devotee is naturally one. Why? Because everything, devotee, his life is dedicated to Krishna. His mind, his body, his words are always used 24 hours a day in the glorification of the Lord. He's always thinking of the Lord. His body is engaged in the service of the Lord, and whenever he has a chance to speak, he speaks about Krishna. Materialistic person, generally when he speaks about his problems, about himself. If you've done much sankirtan, you know what I'm talking about. When you go door to door and you knock and people invite you in, then within 5 minutes, oh, you know, my sister died and my husband is very mean and we don't have much money and oh... But a devotee, as soon as he can speak, he speaks of his beloved Krishna. Just like Prabhupada. Without effort, without... You know, sometimes when we try to speak about Krishna, we have to remember some pastime and it kind of comes out. The Prabhupada, even in casual conversations, he was speaking so nicely about Krishna consciousness. This is a devotee. So devotee naturally reminds one of the Supreme Lord. You come in contact with a devotee, like it or not, you think or you say, Hare Krishna. So Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita that the whole world becomes joyful upon hearing your name. But those who are inimical, they become afraid and they flee here and there. So two reactions happen when one comes before God. One becomes overjoyed. Oh, my Lord has come. I have his darshan. Or one becomes, his envy, his venom increases. Two reactions. And so it is that the demoniac class of men, of course, generally we have seen most people are innocent. There's four categories. There's the Lord, there's the devotee, there's the innocent, and there's the demoniac. The devotee worships his beloved Lord, he makes friends with the devotee, he preaches to the innocent, and he avoids the demoniac. Most people are innocent. We always say demons, but no. Just due to poor education or bad association, a person may be engaged in sinful activity. Innocent. But there are demons. There are demoniac. And the demoniac, when they get the opportunity, they blaspheme the Lord. Just like a devotee gets the opportunity, he glorifies the demon. Just like Shishupal, when Shishupal was born, just coming out of the womb as a young child, he cursed Krishna. With Duryodhana, when he took birth, he was braying like an ass. So these are actual demons. When the Lord is present, then, due to their envious nature, they may attack. In the absence of the Lord, then they take out their envious nature on the devotees of the Lord. So to protect those devotees, the Lord appears. To protect his devotee from the miscreants who are envious, Krishna will appear, because the devotee is very dear to the Lord. Why? Because a real sadhu is defined as one who is preaching Krishna consciousness. Sadhu means devotee. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's none more dear to me than those who are preaching my message, nor in the future shall there ever be one more dear. Why? Because it's not very easy to preach in this world. People come here to forget Krishna. Yes, they come here purposefully to forget Krishna and engage in materialistic karmic activities. So we're going out and reminding them, no, no. Sarva dharma puricha ja, mamekam saranam bhaja, aham tam sarva papebhyo, mokshi simasi. What does that mean? It means surrender to God. Why, you may. And the beginning of your surrender, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Huh? What? That's their life and soul. You tell them to stop. Oh, wait a minute. Not easy. Prabhupada told me personally, we'd been preaching for several weeks in the underground. Like you have your underground here, what do you call them? The tubes? The tubes. In America, a tube is like a long, you know, cardboard thing we call a tube. You hear your tubes. Huh? Tube. A tube. So, we used to do Sankirtan in the tubes, in Paris, and Prabhupada would come, we'd distribute books there to collect and decorate the temple very nicely. So one day Prabhupada was giving darshan, and he said, so any questions? And I raised my hand. Prabhupada, it's so hard, you know, in the metros, preaching and distributing books. When did I ever say that preaching is easy? I never heard you say. So there's some austerity involved. One has to undergo austerity anyway. Just to live in this world, even to satisfy your own senses, so much austerity is involved. And what do you gain? In the end, you lose it all. For all your hard work, you have to leave it all behind. But if you perform the same austerity on behalf of the Lord, you become the eternal gainer. Krishna is so pleased that you have used your life in his service, that he blesses you and takes you back to the kingdom of God, to the spiritual world. So the Lord was present 5,000 years ago, and he initiated the Dharma, real religion. And in his absence, the devotees carry on his mission. So he's very appreciative. Just like tradition is, especially in Indian families, that the father turns over the business to the son. Agarwal and Sons. He's all over India. The father naturally likes when the son grows and takes over the business. Becomes family. It's Agarwal, and then when the boy is 18, he takes over, his father paints on the sign, and Sons. Great pride and joy. So the Lord has come and established Dharma. No one can do it but him. Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Panitam. Only the Lord, singularly the Lord, is capable of establishing real Dharma in this world, real religion. With our limited mind and imperfect senses, we cannot establish what is absolute truth. We can hardly understand the world around us, but to speak of this absolute world. To understand that, it has to be revealed to us. So Krishna comes and he establishes Dharma, or real religion. And in his absence, the devotees carry on. They take over the business. Krishna is very appreciative. So he gives special protection to devotees. Once you surrender to Krishna, you receive the special protection of the Lord. Just abandon all varieties of other duties and surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So that's the main reason the Lord comes, to protect his devotees, even more so to enliven. As far as establishing Dharma, that only took him 45 minutes. Concise truth, absolute truth is here within these few verses of Bhagavad Gita. This is Dharma. It didn't take him very long. Killing demons? Ah. Krishna just has to give a message to Vayu. Give a big gust of wind down there. Hurricane. So tonight the miscreants is not very difficult. So the real reason the Lord appears is to protect his beloved devotees, who are kindly spreading the message of Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Harinam Sen Kirtan Yagya ki. Shri Shri Radha Landanishwar ki. Jagannath Subhadra Baladeva ki. Shri Shri Gauranitai ki. Igriraj Maharaj ki. Gaurupen.